The Grind.
It's The Grind
with Nathan McCray.
There's just no way you can get enough of me. Yo, Mr.
Giving real insight needed daily. Call 657-383-1291. That's 657-383-1291. It's blogtalkradio.com, The Grind 101. Join your host, Nathan McCray, 8 a.m. Eastern, every Tuesday through Thursday, for an unscripted conversation. It's The Grind, 657-383-1291.
Rise and shine. 6 a.m. and your hand can't make it to the alarm clock before the voices in your head start telling you that it's too early, too dark, and too cold to get out of bed. Aching muscles lie still in rebellion, pretending not to hear your brain commanding them to move. A legion of voices are shouting their unanimous permission for you to hit the snooze button and go back to dreamland. But you didn't ask their opinion. The voice you've chosen to listen to is one of defiance. A voice that says there was a reason you set that alarm in the first place. So sit up, put your feet on the floor, and don't look back, because we've got work to do. Welcome to The Grind. For what is each day but a series of conflicts between the right way and the easy way? 10,000 streams fan out like a river delta before you, each one promising the path of least resistance. Thing is, you're headed upstream. And when you make that choice, when you decide to turn your back on what's comfortable, safe, and what some would call common sense, well, that's day one. From there, it only gets tougher. So just make sure this is something you want, because the easy way out will always be there, ready to wash you away. All you have to do is pick up your feet. But you aren't going to, are you? With each step comes the decision to take another. You're on your way now, but this is no time to dwell on how far you've come. You're in a fight against an opponent you can't see, but oh, you can feel him on your heels, can't you? Feel him breathing down your neck. You know what that is? That's you. Your fears, your doubts, and insecurities all lined up like a firing squad, ready to shoot you out of the sky. But don't lose heart. While they're not easily defeated, they are far from invincible. Remember, this is The Grind, the battle royale between you and your mind, your body, and the devil on your shoulder who's telling you that this is just a game. This is just a waste of time. Your opponents are stronger than you. Drown out the voice of uncertainty with the sound of your own heartbeat. Burn away your self-doubt with the fire lit beneath you. Remember what we're fighting for, and never forget that momentum is a cruel mistress. She can turn on a dime or the smallest mistake. She is ever searching for the weak place in your armor, that one tiny thing you forgot to prepare for. So as long as the devil is hiding the details, the question remains, is that all you got? Are you sure? And when the answer is yes, when you've done all you can to prepare yourself for battle, then it's time to go forth and boldly face your enemy, the enemy within. Only now you must take that fight into the open, into hostile territory. You're a lion in a field of lions, all hunting the same elusive prey with a desperate starvation that says victory is the only thing that can keep you alive. So believe that voice that says you can run a little faster, and you can throw a little harder, and that for you, the laws of physics are merely a suggestion. Luck is the last dying wish of those who want to believe that winning can happen by accident. Sweat, on the other hand, is for those who know it's a choice. So decide now, because destiny waits for no man. And when your time comes, and 1,000 different voices are trying to tell you you're not ready for it, listen instead to that lone voice of dissent. The one that says you are ready, you are prepared. It's all up to you now. So rise and shine.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
I honestly grow insecure as I get older. Cause even when you hot, there comes a day when you get colder. Comes a day when you slower. Time is taking its toll. 45 on the back of the jersey upon your soul. I'm scared of letting go. I don't know what the future holds.
My nightmares are having nightmares. I'm quite scared of what's right and fair. How I fare in eternity. Will I hear well done when he turned to me? Will I hear you care too much about all this stuff that really don't matter? You chase the wind and you want it. Got to the top of a 2-foot ladder. What's after I can capture all this mess? My heart was after. Will I end up empty-handed when I stand before my master? Did I master the mathematics of a passive disaster? Adding my selfish ambition.
tough. I remember a couple times I couldn't back that up. Like when I ran from them vatos, scuffing up my zapatos, scared of losing my hide. I was so embarrassed inside. If I could go back in time, I would stand and say something like, I ain't never scared, never scared, never scared. I'm lying, I'm scared of these thoughts in my head. I'm scared of possibly pushing people right over the ledge. When I say I pledge allegiance to the struggle, then I turn around and buckle under stress and under pressure. Fly below my dresser, that could teach my pain a lesson, but I'd rather not address it. Address is in depression. I'm scared if I confess it, that you gon' look at me like I'm something less, and I'm such a mess.
Celui qui a peur d'admettre ses craintes et celui qui ne pourra pas les surmonter. On trouve la liberté dans la confession et la liberté dans la reconnaissance.
Yeah. And it just so happens I'm wrestling with my status. I'm trying to see me like he do, not focusing on his madness. They count me out on the count of they fear and doubt. Keep a count of my wrongs, trying to keep me inside their house. Some just keep me around, gotta wonder what that's about. Yeah, they want to be politically correct, I suppose. But I'm comfortable in my skin while they just pretending they close. I'm scared of falling and failing in front of all of my foes. And I feel some friends are unfaithful, so I keep my small circle closed. I don't want no handouts or favors, no function, no favors. I'ma tell that truth till it kill me, and I'm chilling with my creator. Jesus, 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 Jesus to all of my haters. For the ones who think I forgot them and the ones who won't let me say it. I ain't getting no more.
それるものはそれに打ち勝つことはできないだろう。すべてを受け入れたその先に自由は存在し、恐怖は解き放たれる。
Wake up, everybody. Rise and grind, man. Welcome to the grind this morning. Glad you all could jump on and join me. Man, I had a hard time getting out of bed this morning. I had to 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 like three times to get out of bed this morning. But you know what? I know that that means something. I know that that means that I'm moving from one plateau to the next plateau because there's always struggle in between levels. And I know some of y'all had the same problems that I had this morning. It wasn't your mind. It wasn't your mind. It was your body. You know, we're doing this new boot camp and on top of it, I'm working out as well. So, you know, so my body is extra sore, extra tired, you know, because I'm doing some working out maybe twice, maybe sometimes three times a day, because sometimes I'm on two a days. And so, you know, there's a lot going on, but I understand what it means when people say massive action. You know, you got to take massive action if you want something new, if you want something different, then you're going to have to do something different. So, you know, I take that very serious, ladies and gentlemen, and I take it very serious. Also, an honor that you guys are hanging out with me this morning on the grind. So I hope you have that cup of coffee. I hope you are in a good place. Maybe some of you are at work. Maybe some of you are, you know, sitting at your desk. Maybe some of you are on the way to work. Maybe some of you are sitting at home because you're high-speed entrepreneurs and you got it like that. You know, awesome, awesome. But me personally, I'm sitting out back by the pool listening to the birds. You know, it's a nice kind of getting ready to be a sunny day here in South Florida. You know, so we're going to have a good day. It's going to be a good discussion this morning. It's not going to be a long discussion, but I think it's going to be a great discussion. You know, it's one of those days that you have to talk about something that, heck, that's every day on the grind. You know, you got to talk about something that you know people may not like. Some people may receive it. Some people may not. But such is life. You know, life is all about, you know, doing what's necessary as opposed to doing what everybody likes. Because, you know, sometimes it's hard for us to accept and receive the things that that we need. You know, in order for them to overshadow what we want. And you have to put both of those into perspective, need and want, because, you know, what I want to talk about this morning is not needs and wants, but it's kind of relevant, you know, but it's fear, you know, fear, F-E-A-R. And we all know that fear kills your destiny. Fear kills your destiny. You know, I was thinking back on some of the stuff that I've done in life, some of the stuff that I haven't done in life, and I started to really think about the stuff that I've done, that I've stepped out on faith and decided to punch fear in the face, and I've actually just done it. I realized that the best things in life are on the other side of fear. The best things in life are on the other side of fear. You know, when we do things that we aren't accustomed to doing, of course, it takes us out of that thing called the comfort zone, right? You get out of that comfort zone and you start doing things that you're not accustomed or ordinarily, you know, doing, then it takes you out of that comfort zone, which is great in the land of growth. If you want to grow, you have to get out of your comfort zone. All right, you're only as good tomorrow as what you did yesterday. You're only as good tomorrow as what you do today. So you have to grow at some point in time, right? So, I mean, I can remember being in the military, and I can remember the night before, or really the day before, they told us that we were going to have to rappel out of a helicopter. Now, I didn't go to jump school because I never believed in jumping out of a perfectly good airplane. You know, I've changed that since then, but I never believed of, I never really wanted to jump out of a perfectly good airplane, but that was my excuse, you know, but I didn't want to jump. I didn't want to jump out of the airplane. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, I got to rappel out of a helicopter. Yes, lower than an airplane, much lower, but I still got to jump out of the door of something that could kill me if I don't do it the right way. So, you know, that whole day, you know, going about doing what we do, you know, from day to day in the military, that whole day I'm thinking about rappelling. I'm thinking about this helicopter with no doors on it, tilting and banking, and then all of a sudden I got to jump out of it while it's hovering. And the anxiety started to kick in, you know. The anxiety's there, and I'm like, man, what am I going to do tomorrow? I mean, I got to, you know, get up, you know, old dark 30 in the morning. You know, we gotta get to the LZ. We're not going to land. We're going to hover over it, and I got to rappel out of this helicopter. And I'm thinking about it, and that fear is like my stomach is hurting. It's really binding me up on the inside. And I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do. So that next morning is dark. Now it's worse. I don't know about you guys, but it's worse when you're trying to do something for the first time, and it's a fear that you have. And because there were some guys that were like, yeah, let's do it. I don't know if that's just a great front that they put on, but they were like, yeah, man, I'm pumped, excited. You know, I don't know if they were psyching themselves out or what, but it was working for them. It wasn't really working for me. I didn't want to jump out that plane, but it's something about when you have to do something that you're afraid of in the dark. If the sun is shining, it's a nice day that makes it even better, but it's dark. And the only thing that we had, the only light that was going to be there was what they call, you know, the chem light. So it gives you that low, dull light so that the enemy can't really see where you are. So we're practicing, and, you know, but this is a live type practice. I got to jump out of this helicopter with a full rucksack on my back with my weapon and on my back, on the front of me. Now I have to rappel down this rope with one hand underneath my butt holding one end of the rope with the other hand over top on my chest in front of me and rappel down this rope. I wasn't excited about doing that. But when they said, everybody get up, all right, move to the door, let's go, it's time, 3, 2, 1, and jump. Well, I had to jump out of that. I had to jump out of that helicopter because I didn't want to look crazy. I'm like, okay, it's now or never. I didn't move out of inspiration because I saw other people jumping out of the helicopter. I moved out of desperation. Let's just keep it 100. I moved because I knew I had to get out that plane, and what was going to happen to me if I stayed in that helicopter was going to be worse than what happened if I didn't get out. So I jumped out, and I got to tell you, jumping out of that helicopter and dangling in the air, sliding down the rope to the ground was probably one of the most exhilarating things that I've ever done in my life. And it was that moment when I jumped out of that helicopter and I was sitting there on that rope that I realized that this isn't as bad as I thought it was. This is actually fun. So I got to the ground and I'm happy. And here I am wondering now all of a sudden, when's the next time we're going up to rappel? So we did it a couple more times and I'm like, it got funner and funner each time. So all of this time, the anxiety the night before, worrying about jumping out of this helicopter, it wasn't the actual anxiety. It wasn't the actual jumping out of the helicopter that got me. It was the anxiety that put my stomach in knots. It was the fear of the unknown that hurt me the most, because the action was liberating. So then I wanted to do it again. So I got better at doing it each time. All right, now it's a whole nother world when you got to do that. You're jumping out and people are actually shooting at you. So it's a whole nother world. So, but at the end of the day, I conquered that fear, right? But it's the fear of the unknown that really keeps us safe or average or on the comfortable side of life. Because as I said, the best things in life are on the other side of fear. What's that thing in life that you've always wanted to do that you've been hesitant about doing, all right? It really, think about that. It should literally eat you up inside that you are not living the life that you know you can live, or living the life that you were promised to live. Because, I mean, we're all promised to live a life. You know, everything is open to us. We can do whatever we want to do, be whatever we want to be. Well, all we have to do is do a couple of things. We gotta conquer the fear, take action and conquer the fear, right? It should eat us up inside. And people do what they want to do, right? They do what they want to do until they have to do what they need to do. And that's that inspiration and that desperation. So, and things in life are either going to inspire you to conquer your fear, or you're going to be desperate. You're going to have to conquer that fear. Like when you're standing by the pool and somebody pushes you in the pool, out of desperation, you swim. So inspiration or desperation, you know, I know that there are people that procrastinate, or just, you know, procrastination is really just something that's really not that important to you. But just to give you a really simple example, there are people that will procrastinate about, let's just say you have a fear of water. You have a fear of water. So what you do is, in life, you as you're going through life, you have that fear of water, and you get better at telling people that you hate water and why you hate water. And you get real good and elaborate at telling the story as to why, and making them feel, and even cracking a joke about it, you know, sometimes. But you're not ready to conquer that fear. But then you go to the water one day, and you go to the water, and you use your bottled water, and you say, "Wow, okay." You say, "Wow, well, at least I went to the water, you know, I'm getting there. And then, you know, a year or two goes by, and you show up, you know, back to the pool, and, you know, you've got your swimsuit on. All right. You've gotten up enough nerve to at least put your swimsuit on. So you get to the water, and you're by the pool, and you're walking around looking like you're supposed to be there, but you still have that fear of the water that you have not conquered yet. So everybody around you is like, okay, you know, looks like you can swim, you know. So you fit the bill. So you leave and you go another year or two, and you finally get up the nerve not to just go to the water, not to just put your swimsuit on, but you finally get up the nerve enough to actually put your feet in the water. So now you got your feet in the water, and you know, you dangle around and kick around, and you're happy that you put your feet in the water. So you run around telling everybody, "Hey, I put my feet in the water. Hey, you know, give me a cookie." Still, you have that fear of the water. So you know, dilly-dally around for another year or so, and you finally come back and you get in the water up to your waist. And you're like, "Wow, okay, I'm in the water up to my waist, man. This is awesome." And then you get out and you come a few more times and you just wade around in the water and everybody's jumping around you. It's all good. But you still have that fear of water. So you go home and then wait another couple of years and you've splashed around in the water and you finally get to the point to where you're in the water up to your chest. It's like it's right at your neck and you're feeling a little uncomfortable, but you've conquered that portion of your fear. But you still have a fear of water. You do, because you never really stop fearing the water until you come back that last time and you finally put your head underwater. And you figure out that you can hold your breath underwater and you can come up when you want to come up. And now you have officially conquered your fear of water because you immersed yourself in it. You didn't dab a toe in it or a foot. You totally went all in and dove in it. Now, just imagine what would have happened if you would have just decided, when you put your swim trunks on that day, your swimsuit, you decided to just jump in the water. So you could have saved yourself years and years of time by just being all in, taking massive action, punching fear in the face and jumping in the water. See, people say, well, you know, it's, you know, they say, well, greatness is a lot of small things done well, done over and over and over again. Absolutely. Oh, you know, I'm just going to take baby steps and I'm going to get there. But you're not a baby. You're adult. You're an adult. You're a grown man or a grown woman. You want to take baby steps all of a sudden. You don't want to be treated like a baby. You don't want anybody to talk down to you like a baby. But all of a sudden, you want to take baby steps, right? So you're comfortable with that. And see, and that's what we do, though. We go all of those years and we don't conquer those fears. And then we finally conquer that fear and we're like, what took me so long to do this? I feel stupid because I went all of this time and I could have learned to swim years ago. I took all of this time. I could have been financially free years ago. I took all of this time. I could have had what I wanted years ago. But see, this is what some of us do. This is what some of us do. Sometimes we want the comfort zone in our broke zone. Sometimes we want the comfort zone in our broke zone, so we don't do all of those things. Or we just create that comfort zone that keeps us average and comfortable and mediocre in our broke zone, and we get comfortable there, but we don't want the world to know that we're there. See, it's the fear. It's not just the fear of taking massive action and doing something. It's the fear of what other people think as well, right? So we get some faking going on and things of that nature. But let me explain to you. It's like when you start, when you create your comfort zone in your broke zone, you do things like you go out and you buy S550 Mercedes and you stay in a low budget apartment, and you don't have a garage to park your Mercedes in. Your Mercedes costs more than your rent on your apartment every month, and you can't afford the maintenance, and you got high financing on it, and so you got, but I got a Mercedes. So you've just created a comfort zone in your broke zone, pissing people off because I said, well, I got a Mercedes. And I say, no, get what I'm saying. You're doing something that you can't afford. That's a comfort zone in your broke zone. Greatness is a lot of small things done well over and over again, done well over and over, done well, done consistent, done with some common sense, done with in the right order over and over and over again. That's greatness. So I'll give you another one. It's like spending $1,000 on some red bottoms and you're still on payment arrangements for your light bill. And I know that's like the low end red bottoms, because some people spend $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 on some red bottoms. Let's just keep it right here. It's like spending $1,000 on some red bottoms and you're still on an payment arrangement for your light bill. Comfort zone in your broke zone. That's a fear. It's the fear of what you want other people to think. You know, what's your priorities? What are your priorities? What is it in life that you want, and how do you go about getting what you want, and what level of commitment do you have to yourself to get it done the right way? So, you know, I went out, you know, I bought my wife a Maserati, and I bought her a Maserati because I want my wife to have nice things. And that's a priority for me, all right? But if you ask my wife knows that I'm going to do things that make sense, all right? Because if you can't afford the maintenance on a Mercedes or a Maserati, you shouldn't have it. If you complain about the gas, you shouldn't have it. If you can't afford the maintenance, you probably shouldn't have it. We know that the maintenance can cost more than a year's worth of car payments if you're not careful, depending upon what happens on those high-end cars. So comfort zone and the broke zone has to have a priority to it. It has to have a pattern, or everything has to fit the right way for the puzzle to look the way it's supposed to look, right? So here we are. You've got these hopes. You've got these dreams. And, you know, here I am. I want my wife to have nice stuff. And for me, my value and Pam's value is security. It's freedom. It's security. So what looks more attractive to us? What looks more attractive to us is to have seven figures in the bank, multiple six figures in the bank, six figures in the bank, whatever your level is, whatever it is that you want, figure out what that amount is. And if you want to have that amount in the bank for security, then you have to work toward that, right? Now, I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, your level of security is totally up to you. And I get that. For me and Pam, that security is knowing that we don't have to tell our kids no all the time when they want something. Sometimes you tell them no just on GP because it's good for them to hear no sometimes. Builds character. The world is not going to say yes all the time. So what do you know? What are you working for? How are you going to get what you're wanting right now? So what's your level of security? You have to ask yourself that. So is it the fear that you're in fear to do it, or you fear what other people are thinking? Because you're trying to conquer your fear so you can get to your destiny, right? That's what you're trying to get, right? You're trying to get to your destiny. Ultimately, what is it that God wants me to do? Or what is it that I'm supposed to do? How am I supposed to be a light? How am I supposed to inspire? Because we say you inspire or you expire. How am I supposed to inspire people to live better, do better, do my life? So what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to live my life? So if your dreams, because we all have dreams, if your dreams and your grind are not congruent, guys, you'll never live on the other side of average. If your dreams and your grind are not congruent, you will never live on the other side of average. And some of you are driving in your vehicle right now, you're saying, you know, I think my dream and my grind are congruent. Okay, that means you're taking the steps necessary to get where you need to be, and there's no cart in front of your horse. Your horse can move freely because you're doing things decent and in order. Are you not limiting yourself? You take a massive action. You're going out and getting what you're supposed to have, what you're supposed to get. You're pushing the envelope. That's what it means when your dreams and your grind is congruent. You got a big dream, so you got a big grind. If you got a little dream, then you got a little grind. So you start telling yourself certain things, and then you start to believe those things. That's how we fool ourselves in life. So I want to get into a portion of this, but I want, you know, everybody to really understand, you know, where they are in life. When you have that conversation in the mirror with yourself, And you're saying, where am I? Who am I? Am I where I should be in life? Am I where I want to be? I mean, the real conversation, not the one where you tell yourself that you're okay and you're really not okay, right? So what if you decided to start taking some calculated risks, okay? I said calculated risks. And when you did, you found out that there was a whole new life on the other side of fear. All of the fears that you have, no matter what they're attached to, the fear of other people thinking about what you have or how other people feel about you, the fear of you just doing certain things that you know will move you to the next level. I mean, just the fear. What if you decided to start taking those calculated risks? And when you did, you found out that there was a whole new life on the other side of fear, of all of those fears. A life where people, you know, did what they wanted to do, when they wanted, and how they wanted to do it. A life where people drove and what they wanted and lived where they wanted to live. A life where people actually did anything they wanted to do, when they wanted to do it, without anybody telling them they couldn't. That life where people talked about where they went or where they're going or what they did as opposed to what they would like to do. It's time we took ourselves past our limits. But you never know how far you can go until you've gone too far, right? You never know how strong you are until you've lifted weight to failure. You never know how far you can run until you've ran until you can't run anymore. It's called pushing the envelope. It's called calculated risks. So if you look yourself in the face and say, you know, I want it. and I'm going to do what it takes to get it. Then you get out of your way and you go get it, right? Because most people will spend a lifetime blaming others for what they don't have or what they haven't done. And they've gotten good at it, really, really good at it. It even appears to them that it's not their fault anymore. But for those that have taken accountability for their lives, and they're not putting all of the nice frilly dressings on their life to disguise it even from themselves, but for those that have taken accountability and they say, you know what, it's my fault. It's on me. I'm not where I should be because it's my fault. I didn't do X, Y, and Z. It's not your mother. It's not your father. It's not your sister, your brother. It's not your boss at work, your manager, your supervisor. It's you. It's you. And when you, the sooner we realize that it's us, the sooner we can get out of our own way and make a decision to have what we want in life and don't take baby steps. Because again, we're not babies. We take massive action. You've lived in fear, man. You've lived in fear your whole life. So now you need to take massive action to make up for the time that you've lost. And massive action isn't one big decision to do something stupid that's going to set you back further than you are right now. Massive action isn't you taking that uncalculated risk just to say I took massive action. Massive action is that action on the things that you know you should be doing that you've not been doing your whole life that have gotten you where you are right now. You make a decision to do it and create the resolve to never stop until you have what you want. But you take calculated risks in order to do that, right? And those fears start to not be fears anymore. Now your fears turn into stepping stones. Your fears turn into the very things that you needed in life that you thought you were missing. But you start now, you're conquering those fears, and now you can move from level to level. And now you're not just peeking over the fence. Now you're actually opening the fence, climbing over the fence, because now it's getting lower and lower, shorter and shorter. And here you are. Now you're actually on the other side of the fence, living the life that you've always wanted to live because you conquered your fears. If there's a business that you've always wanted to start and you didn't know how to start that business and you talked yourself out of it because we think about things that we want to do and then we say, well, I don't have this, 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 and this, and this. And we just stop. But see, there are dreams that we have that we want to take advantage of. We have these dreams. And because we don't have the vehicle to get to those dreams, we quit. We stop dreaming about the things that we want. And when we put our minds on the things that we don't have, as opposed to what we do have, and work with what we have, because where you are right now is enough. Where you are right now and what you have is plenty. Start. Just get started. And sometimes you have a vehicle sitting right in front of you that you're not taking advantage of. It's there. There's a vehicle sitting outside your door that you can get in and drive to your dreams, but we don't get in it because we're afraid that we're going to be successful. I know some of you are like, no, I'm not afraid. Yeah, you're afraid that you're going to be successful. It's the unknown as well. It's the fear of the unknown. I've got to leave this comfort zone and go and do something that I've never done before. So I'll get in the vehicle to make people think I'm actually driving to my dreams. But I'm not going to start it up. I'm not going to press the gas. I'm not going to put any gas in it. I'm not going to do anything to the vehicle that I need to do to get me to the next to my dreams. I'm not going to do anything to it. I'm just going to get in the vehicle. And when people see me, I'm in the vehicle. And they think I'm moving toward my dreams. What if you started that thing up? What if you actually looked at the dashboard lights, figured out what it actually did? What if you just, better yet, just started it up, put it in drive, and started driving and started to figure out what the lights and what everything was while you were driving the vehicle? All of a sudden, you got people saying, oh, that's a nice vehicle, people you've never seen before. Now you're driving places you've never been before. Now people are saying, hey, can I get a ride? I love that vehicle. How'd you get this vehicle? This is nice. See, it's not about the vehicle. It's about the fact that you finally got in it, started it up, and actually started driving it. So that means you're practicing the principles necessary to get the promise of the thing that you want. Ladies and gentlemen, jump in your vehicle. Punch fear in the face. Start your vehicle up. It's not there for no reason. Some of us pray for God to send us stuff every day, sometimes 3-4 times a day. Lord, just send me a sign. Lord, just send me something. I need something. I'm drowning over here. I'm struggling. My kids need clothes. My family needs food. I have no gas for my vehicle. When you practice the principles of being broke, you get the promise of being broke, which is to be broke. When you practice the principles of abundance, when you're broke, you get the promise of the principles of abundance, which is abundance. Ladies and gentlemen, punch fear in the face. I thank all of you for jumping on the grind this morning. It's been an absolute honor to actually speak to each of you this morning. You took time out of your morning to hang out with me, and I don't take that lightly. I say thank you from the bottom of my heart for being a guest on the grind. Morning, God. And I tell you what, this show is going to start again on Thursday. And I hope to see all of you guys on the show again. Right here on the grind. Ladies and gentlemen, keep moving forward because there is absolutely nothing worth seeing behind you.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hit and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that. You're better than that. That's how winning is done.
From the bottom to make it to the top, through the joy and through the pain.
That's how winning is done.
That's how winning is done. That's how winning is done. That's how winning is done. And we ain't stopping, homie. We shine on them suckers. We ball on them haters. If you got money in the club, homie,
that's how winning is done.
Hey, tell the world I'm ready. Take them foes off and put some sixes on the Chevy. Ain't no holding me back, cause I'm the new disease. And a whole lot of money is the cure for me. Obviously, I'ma be riding in the money seat. Open up the doors and let the town hear the TIP. My brother just got murdered, he doing bedtime. Fatty Chrome and Wiki Wheel doing fed time. But I can't stop my neck. I gotta grind your dick. My kids gon' bury me a hundred when I see the dick. My granny got took from me and I ain't stop hurting. She said, Ray, don't give up, just keep that swagger working. So that swagger working, every day I'm working. Cause it's hard to have swagger when your pocket's hurting. But it's all good, yes, it's all good. Round this time next year, I'm about to
hood. We grind from the bottom to make it to the top. Through the joy and through the pain.
That's how winning is done.
That's how winning is done.
hold that's how winning is done.
Cause that's how winning is done. That's how winning is done. That's how winning is done. And we ain't stopping, homie.
That's how winning is done.